Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the North River Resources Shareholder Conference Call. My name is Liz, and I'll be your coordinator for today's call. For the duration of the call, you will be on listen only. However, you can submit your questions via the chat feature in the bottom right corner of your screen on Webex. If at any time you need assistance, please press star and zero on your telephone keypad, and you will be connected to an operator. I will now hand you over to your host, Rod Beddoes, to begin today's call. Thank you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, shareholders of North River Resources. This is Rod Beddoes. Most of you may not be very familiar with me. I've only been chairman since December last year. James Beams is with me. He will do the presentation and probably handle most of the questions. I'll just give a very brief introduction just to the situation of the company. It's clear, I think, from the information memorandum and so on, which has been sent around the circular, that the company is in running out of cash, and we have formulated, and the board has agreed to propose to you as shareholders a package which will provide working capital into the future for a year plus, and also will convert Greenstone's convertible shareholding into ordinary shares. I'll hand over to James, but it is very important if you wish the company to continue that this is supported. We believe there is strong value in the company still. We have a reasonable resource which is being expanded. It's a high-grade zinc and lead, and of course the zinc market is extremely strong and it's getting stronger. It's the strongest base metal market currently and expected to be so in the next 5 to 10 years. So we believe in the value of the project. And we are in negotiations, which of course are confidential, but we are in negotiations with the Namibian government to secure the mining license, which we would hope to do in the next few months. But we cannot say too much about that because, of course, that is a confidential process which involves a sovereign state. I will hand over to James to go through the presentation, and we'll take questions at the end. Thank you.
Thanks, Rod. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. So the purpose of the call, just building on Rod's introduction, is to first provide a bit of background to the financing that we're proposing, then to set out in a bit more colour where we are with the mining licence and the project more generally, and then I'll talk you through how we see the work programme and required funding for the company going forward, starting, of course, with this initial working capital financing that we are focused on now, and then to just talk through that funding requirement and proposal that we have put to shareholders for approval at the general meeting on the 18th of this month, and then at the end we will pick up any questions that we've received already or we received during the course of this call. So diving straight in. And for those on WebEx, I will start to go through the presentation slides. So on slide 3, headed background, just to go back to the last capital raising we did in August, September last year, we have since then had, as shareholders are aware, a continued delay in the grant of the mining license, and so have had to make that $4 million raising last much longer than had been anticipated at the time. At the time, we expected the license to come through before the end of last year, and so had set out a work program at the time to fast-track the remaining work streams required to take the company to an investment decision. As it happens, we've had to adjust. We've put a number of those pre-construction programs on hold. These are the larger chunks of and more expensive uses of cash, like early engineering and design, further underground mine development, to lead into that construction phase, and building up a project team. All of that has been put on hold, pending now the timing and conditions to the mining license. And second, we have cut back all non-essential corporate and project site costs, so that we bring our run rate costs right down while we are in at this period of uncertainty in terms of timing. All we are focusing on now, having cut right back to the bare priorities, all we are focusing on now as a company is the resource expansion drilling, number one, and number two, the grant of the mining license. So essentially, my focus is on ensuring that as much of our cash resources as possible go into those two efforts. We as a board have deemed the resource expansion drilling, or continuing with that drilling, as a key priority for the company, essentially as it gives us so much more value going into project financing in due course, in the potential uplift to the life of the mine. And secondly, of course, the second priority in the grant of the mining license is, of course, critical to taking the project forward. So although we have made the last cash raise last much longer than we had planned to do so, in fact, almost a further 6 months longer than we had planned, we are now in a situation, as Rod said in his introduction, where cash is low, we need immediate working capital to continue trading. Going to the next slide. Just to expand a little on the mining license application, because this is the key uncertainty to taking the project, the next step towards development. Where we are right now, still today, is that we are awaiting a response from the Ministry of Mines and Energy on a proposal that we submitted to them on the 25th of April this year. And just going back to the steps that we've gone through since the beginning of the year, we have licenses generally to the sector. They began issuing so-called notices of preparedness to grant mining or exploration licenses in January this year, and we were one of those companies that received such a notice. So in January, we received this notice that set out a framework and timetable for a new revised process, a Ministry of Mines and Energy process for the issue of licenses. This new process includes a number of new conditions to be agreed with the ministry before these licenses or our license is granted. These conditions include, and I've set them out there, these are the key ones to mention, are Namibian ownership of the project, in the project, number one, and number two, and Namibian participation in the management of the company. In other words, a certain proportion of the management team of the project need to be made up of local Namibians. And thirdly, the applicant needs to set out a corporate social responsibility strategy. We have set out in a detailed proposal how we would seek to address these conditions, and that is the proposal that we submitted on the 25th of April this year, and on which we are still awaiting a response from the ministry. These are, as Rod said, these are at this point confidential discussions, and so suffice to say it wouldn't be appropriate to go into the detail of that, but we do expect. The ministry did extend the period through to which they were to respond to the 2nd of January, which obviously has come and gone. But we understand and we do expect to receive feedback shortly, and then pick up the conversation on any issues of or any points of feedback. We'll pick up that discussion with the government from that point onwards. I've noted it at the bottom of the slide, and we repeat it a number of times in that circular and announcement we've just put out. The time frame for agreeing these conditions for the grant of the license is subject to further extension. You know, we are not in control of that timeline, and furthermore, we have no certainty that we can achieve acceptable conditions for the grant of that license. But we do at least draw comfort from the fact that we are in a process and in discussion with the government around the issue of that license. To the next slide, forward work program and funding. It's difficult by definition to set out a plan and budget when we don't yet have a defined timeline through to project development, as we've learnt following the last capital raising last year. But we thought useful to, and we've set the same structure out in the circular and announcement, but we thought it very useful to provide shareholders with some context to the proposed working capital financing now and how that funding now fits into the bigger picture flowing through to eventual development of the NMIB project. So what we've done is set that out in three phases. And phase one is what we're talking about and focusing on with this announcement and the shareholder for shareholder approval on the 18th of this month at the general meeting. But more broadly speaking, we estimate that the company will require in order of magnitude $30 million to take the project from where we are today through to commissioning and into operations. Now that $30 million is a broad number for two key reasons. Number one, to repeat what I said earlier, we don't have a timeline yet, and so obviously the longer we wait to get a license and then start moving forward, adds to that overall cost. Or the shorter, obviously, it takes us in the other direction. And secondly, it's been some while since the defined capital estimate in the feasibility study was done in late 2014, and that will all have to be updated at the right time post receipt of the mining license. But order of magnitude, this is what we believe the company will need to take the project through development into development. So, in summary, phase one, we think we need, or we have worked out that we need an estimated $2.5 million dollars of additional working capital right now to continue trading, and that is to continue essentially with those two areas of focus for the company right now today, and that is continue with the resource expansion drilling, so critical to increasing the life of the mine. And in support of eventual project financing, and secondly, obviously, to advance and conclude the discussions on the mining license, and at the edges to start building internal capabilities to that will lead us into to other pre-construction work streams once we've achieved the mining license. But to be very clear, what we are looking at today in this fundraising is to raise a cautious amount of additional capital to keep the company moving forward and keep that option alive on the NMIB project in our discussions with the government, but not to commit to larger chunks of capital until we've had the mining license. So that is phase one, and that is what we are focusing on in this capital raise. Obviously I'll come back to, in a bit more detail, the structure and nature of that initial capital raise. But just to go through the second phase is to complete the bigger picture. We will then need a further amount of capital, which we estimate today at an additional $2.5 million, to complete those bigger chunks of work that will take the project forward to an investment decision. So those will be things like early stage engineering and design, or so-called FEED, building up a project team, and an early underground development that will prepare us for taking the project into full construction. Now, again, all of those will only commence, and we'll only take a decision on those once we following the grant of a mining license. And that is why we've separated that out into a later phase of required capital. And then phase three, obviously, will be the capital we require for actual construction of the project, and that we estimate in pretty much in line still with the definitive feasibility study at the end of 2014, around $25 million for full construction through to commissioning of the project. So overall order of magnitude $30 million from today to develop the project. Now to go into some more detail on that phase one funding, this capital raise that will essentially provide an additional $2.5 million of fresh capital or fresh cash into the company to allow us to continue with those key work streams of exploration drilling and advancing the license discussions. Step one in this funding has been that we have agreed the raising of secured convertible loan notes to Greenstone to the order of $5.6 million. That $5.6 million will be applied in two chunks, if you like. The first is that it provides the company with fresh cash of $2.5 million of working capital, as I've said. And secondly, the remaining $3.1 million is to be applied to the repayment of the 2015 convertible loan notes. So essentially, it's a refinancing of those old notes, and the company will be left with a $5.6 million convertible loan note to Greenstone Resources. Key to note, and the final bullet on this slide, is that these loan notes are secured against the share capital or the shares in Namib Lead and Zinc Company, a Namibian company which owns the Namib project. Then step two, if you like, in this phase one funding is the financing proposal that we have put to shareholders for approval at the general meeting on the 18th. And what we are putting to shareholders for approval on the 18th is a plan to immediately redeem these $5.6 million loan notes to Greenstone. And in order to do that, we need to go through a number of steps. Number one, we need to effect a share capital reorganization. With the current share price where it is at the moment, below the nominal share price, we have to undertake a capital reorganization. Number two, given the structure entails the potential for Greenstone to go above their current, in round numbers, 30% interest in the company, we need to whitewash any Greenstone obligation to make a mandatory offer at this stage to shareholders, should its interest go above the 30%. And then And then with that, in terms of the conversion itself of these notes, Greenstone has committed as part of this proposal for the automatic conversion of 30% of these notes into new shares to Greenstone, which in other words is Greenstone committing to stand its corner for this fundraising. The remaining 70% of these loan notes then is to be repayable from proceeds of the open offer to shareholders other than Greenstone and any placing to new investors. And both that open offer and the placing are set at a price of 0.095 pence per share, before the reorganization, obviously. To the extent that we as a company do not fully raise that remaining 70% required to redeem the or fully redeem the loan notes, any shortfall will be picked up will be converted into further shares to Greenstone, and obviously to the extent that there is a shortfall. And we do have that further conversion of shares into Greenstone. Greenstone will then go above their current, or just below 30% in the company. That's the proposed structure, all for shareholder up for shareholder approval at the general meeting of the 18th. On the next slide, I've tried to set it out, the consequences in a binary way. The consequences of shareholder approval. In other words, the resolutions should the resolutions be approved, and the financing goes ahead as I've just set out. Number one, or alternatively, the consequences should the resolutions be voted down, and therefore the financing the structure I've just talked through does not go ahead. So firstly, if the resolutions are approved, we as a company immediately get that needed working capital to remain solvent, and I can't stress that enough. We are very low on cash. Need that cash to continue trading. And secondly, it preserves, and equally importantly, having that cash preserves the option over creating real value here from the development of NIMIB, from the NIMIB project. Thirdly, and not included on the slide, but also importantly, raising the capital and clearing out the convertible loan notes from last year leaves the company essentially debt-free. Should the resolutions be voted down, and this is all set out in the circular, but I thought useful for us to set it out, I guess, in shorter, in a more succinct way here, is that we will have, as a company, we will have 45 days. The $5.6 million convertible loan note will have a further 45 days to maturity in this event, within which they will have to be repaid. If we do not repay within that period, North River would be in default of the terms of the notes. Being in default of the terms of the notes gives Greenstone the right to enforce their security over the shares of the NIMIB project. And as a board, we deem it very unlikely that alternative funding to the tune of $5.6 million can be found within 45 days. So, and that leads us over to the right-hand side. It's a very strong message from us as a board, and happy to take any questions on this, is that it is critical that shareholders carefully review the proposal and vote in favour so that the company keeps control of the NIMIB project and continues trading. And now getting to the end, and it's just a reminder the next slide. We do believe, and Rod said this up front, we do believe that there is real value in this project. The fundamentals of the NMIP project remain as attractive as they have been. There is a real opportunity here to create value for shareholders. I won't step through every point on the slide, but you know, this is a low-cost, attractive-grade zinc-lead project. It's a restart of an old mine. It therefore has low capital intensity relative to industry benchmarks, excellent location in terms of infrastructure and in terms of country and jurisdiction, very straightforward mining and processing. We've got increased confidence over the last year. We've gained increased confidence over the last year in the metallurgy. We've got some work to do to better understand the north part of the ore body, but all manageable on that front. Again, as Rod said in his introduction, being in zinc is a strong point. Is a very strong point. Zinc has got stronger fundamentals than many of the base metals, and coming out of a fairly difficult point in the cycle. And we believe there is, in terms of the resource, and this is what we're working on with a resource program underway at the moment, the resource expansion drilling ongoing at the moment, I should say. We believe there is a high upside in the resource, much longer than the initial three and a half to four years of mine life. That the project as a whole is well worth fighting for. And to finish off, and again, and I stress there's a more detailed timetable in the circular, which I would encourage all of you to look at. But key dates just leading through to the general meeting on Monday, the 18th of this month. I'll just read a couple of them. The latest time for depositing open offer entitlements into CREST is on the 12th of July. Latest time for depositing receipt of forms of proxy is on the 14th. And latest time for receipt of application form and payment in full under the open offer is at 11 a.m. on the that's a.m. rather than p.m. on the 15th of July. And I will leave it there. So thank you for your time. Now we'll just go through any questions. I'll read out the first question. My holding is now worth 6% of its initial value. Obviously, that's different for each shareholder. The threat of bankruptcy means very little to me as a motivating force, and so is not an answer that interests me. What can you say to convince me and other shareholders in my position that we should take further dilution on our already massive losses? Rod, yeah. please add to it that it goes back to, I think, that second to last slide. The fundamentals of the NMIB project remain as they have been. This is a really attractive restart of a previous mine. It means the economics through the cycle are favorable. It's in a favorable commodity. It is certainly a project that in terms of the industry generally will be attractive. Obviously, we need to get that mining license. We as a board still firmly believe that the in the likelihood of us getting that mining license on terms that do not undermine the commercial and economic profile and attractiveness or value adding potential of the project, and so we believe that that is worth, as I said a minute ago, that is worth fighting for.
Let me, this is Rod, yeah. Let me just add a couple of things. I think we are where we are, and it is what it is. There's little we can do about losses taken from purchasing shares in the past to the value today. The question is a matter of what to do today. So if you are a shareholder today, you can vote to reject these proposals. And the result will be that you will most likely, almost inevitably, finish up with no value whatsoever. So James is correct that this is about an option on the future. A great deal has been invested in this project already, and a great deal of value is inherent in it, dependent upon receiving the mining license. I cannot give any guarantees, and no one could give any guarantee, about what the share price will be in the future at any point in time. So how much value could be recovered if you bought at a very high price in the past, or what you think is a very high price. And we can give no guarantees of when the mining license will be granted. I suppose we could give a statement that we feel it is almost inevitable that the mining license will be granted because it's in both parties' interests. But the timing of that is the uncertainty. On a personal level, I became chairman on December the 9th, I think, last year, and I have not so far bought any shares. Following this event, and if the shareholders accept these proposals and the company is funded going forward, I intend to purchase some shares then. So I believe in the future value of the company, and that's all I can say.
Okay, thank you, Rod. Another question. Another question. How long will the new cash injection last? And it's a very good question, and we deliberated over this extensively. We have deliberately sought to keep the quantum of additional cash into the company, i.e. $2.5 million, to a minimum level that allows the company a bit of breathing room to continue in these discussions on the mining license and to complete the current drilling program. The cash that we've raised will, in one sense, depend on how those discussions unfold and the timing of them unfolding on the mining license. But the idea was to put sufficient cash into the company to keep us going on those two main priorities through to the end of the year and get to the end of the year still in a solvent position. Obviously, if and as we go forward and timing and events unfold, we will again adapt the level of spend accordingly. I hope that answers that as best as we can now. There's a comment here about or referring to, expressing some frustration about continually referring to us being in a process, in inverted commas, on the mining license. And I understand that frustration because by definition, a process should have a start and an end, and a process should have some defined steps. And where we've been on the mining license discussion or application, and where and the uncertainties that remain in terms of those discussions are not as black and white as that. But you know, we are where we are, to borrow Rod your comment from a minute ago, and we are. All I can emphasise is that we are in ongoing discussions with the government on our application, and we should draw some comfort from the fact that by receiving that notice of preparedness to grant, and in the title of that notice, you know, is a key statement. Our application, in a technical sense, has you know, is supported by the ministry. They are stating they are prepared to grant us the license, subject to agreement on these new stroke supplementary conditions, which are not you know, technical in nature in terms of the resource or what we plan to build on the site. So it is a more defined process than it was last year is the best I can say.
Yes, I just add that you know, we are dealing with a sovereign government here, so there are degrees of freedom for a state which companies don't have, and a broader range of options. But we have made substantial progress, as James mentioned, and we are, if not in the final stages of negotiation, we're down to the last few remaining issues to be negotiated. All technical issues have been resolved, so we have made substantial progress.
Yep. One more follow-on question here is the supplementary conditions are ill-defined. I would put it slightly differently. We have to be cautious in how we communicate or how we share with shareholders what the nature of those conditions are, simply because they are new and there is no precedent. You know, we are one of the first companies in the queue, if you like, having this discussion with the Ministry of Mines, and so we just have to wait and see how those discussions unfold. We don't know, and we can't speak on behalf of the Ministry around what their underlying expectations are in terms of the implementation of those headline new conditions. You know, and that's the process we're in.
Yeah, if I just add something, again, this is Rod. I mean, the negotiations like this are always sensitive, and it is best to conduct them in private rather than in public. We wish to avoid making statements which might embarrass the government, which would be negative for us. And also, we don't want to start negotiating against ourselves by putting positions into the public domain which we might want to retract from in the future. Rest assured that James and other members of the board are spending a great deal of time on this. James is down in Namibia on a very, very regular basis, and meets on a very, very regular basis with the various government and ministry officials and politicians who are involved in this. And negotiations, progress is being made. That's all we can say, really. Mm. I think it's fair enough.
Okay. I think those are all the questions that we've received. I'll just go through some questions from an email from the other day, just by exception. Number one, how does the company plan to raise short-term working capital if the share price is below the nominal share price? Well, I think we've set that out in the proposal, and the answer, in short, is to effect a share reorganisation to put some distance between the market price per share and the nominal price. Next question: for the $25 to $30 million raise, are they still thinking along the lines of 40 to 60 share-derived equity versus loans? If not, what is their alternative strategy? The quantum remains in line with our estimate. An overall $30 million is still what we believe we will require to bring the project into operations. But we've broken it down into three phases, as I've walked through earlier. In terms of we're not looking to raise all of that now. Obviously, we're taking it in those cautious three steps. In terms of the 40 to 60 equity versus debt or whatever the proportion is, the level of debt that we will raise at the point of raising construction capital, in other words, the third of those three funding phases, will be what it will be at that point in time. And so we can't predict with any certitude how much debt we can raise on this project. What will drive that at that time will be general market conditions and therefore the appetite of banks and other lenders in that market. So prospects for the zinc and lead market will be important. Number two, our life of mine, you know, and this is why, going back to the only remaining activity at our site at the moment is to continue with that resource expansion drilling. And we're doing that because whatever the market conditions are, the more life we have, the greater the more resource we have for this project, the better placed we are to have those debt discussions at that point in time. Next question. What is the plan if they can't agree terms on the license with the Ministry of Mines? We don't want to negotiate with ourselves or predict outcomes. We do believe that we can reach an agreeable outcome that will lead to the grant of the mining license, and suffice to say that doing so is critical to North River. Essentially, this project is where we see the potential to create real value for shareholders in the company. That's all from that additional list of questions. And have we received any more? No.
Great.
Everyone, thank you very much for your time. I hope that was helpful. And please do take the time to go through the detailed circular and either directly or through the St. Bride's email. Very happy to receive questions over the coming days. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for attending today's conference. You may now replace your handsets.